We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Do you plan to go to heaven? To reach heaven should be the most desired attainment mortal man can ever contemplate. There is only one exit from this life to heaven, and that is by way of death. In Job 14:10 it is said, "But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" Do you contemplate that momentous event in your life? Death is the graduation exercise for the child of God. The new life in eternity is begun only after death. Death is the transport whereby the child of God is delivered from this world of sin and sorrow to the perfect eternal home of the soul. In his triumphant climax of his journey on earth, the Christian is looking forward to the day of death. The day of death is greater than the day of birth. A greater and richer life is to be experienced by the faithful children of God after death. Death is inevitable. Paul, the apostle, declared in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." My friends, we may have some appointments we may never fail, but you may be sure that this is one appointment that must be kept. Death is universal. The very seeds of death may be observed in nature itself around about us. A rosebud may blossom into an adored flower, whose fragrance may perfume the air we breathe and decorate the scenery with incomparable beauty. But it too will fade away in death. Time and time again, sweet innocent children, who were lovable rosebuds to sweeten and enrich the home, have been called by death before the blossom of youth had burst into the sunlight of human experiences, of manhood and womanhood. In nature, we have seen the death of autumn, when the trees, after having shown forth their green and fruitage, display their fading foliage in incomparable scenes of beauty, even in death. What breathless beauty! Death is like a picture, with all the colors of the rainbow, rich and unassorted in colors, graceful in shape, revealing the life of nature and the very beauty of death itself. Leaves fade away gradually. Normally, the whole foliage of a tree does not pass away at once. Some fade and die in the springtime, while characterized by the brightest and most luxurious beauty. Some die in the summertime, while green and full of sap. While others fade away and fall in the autumn, and how appropriate, was the declaration of the prophet of God in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 when he said, "We all do fade as a leaf." Many infants are plucked by the tender and loving hands of the Heavenly Father while they are yet lovely buds, before they have blossomed into the spring of youth or the summertime of manhood or womanhood. Others fade away in the springtime of life, while the brightest and most beautiful, in the days of youth, before evil days have blotted and scarred their lives. Yet, others pass away in the summertime of life, like the leaves of the trees in the forest, while they are mature, green, and full of sap, perhaps rendering the most useful service to God and to humanity. We mourn their departure, but can greatly appreciate and enjoy the fruits of their labors. Then, there are those who fade and fall in the autumn. They have lived and experienced the budding from the mother branch, the springtime of youth, the summertime of manhood and womanhood, and now the last days, autumn. Oh, the beauty of an aged, noble Christian whose life has been spent in service to God and man, now wrapping itself in benedictions around the destinies of men. Yes, we do all fade as a leaf, as announced by the prophet. Leaves fall away silently. One by one they discolor and drop off. But no one can definitely trace the progress of their life and death from the beginning to the end. So it is with man. No sooner has man begun to live when he begins to die. Perhaps most of us think of death as being afar off. But it isn't that far away, ladies and gentlemen, and I say, are you listening? One begins to die the moment he begins to live. Life on this earth is a succession of dying every day and every hour, just as the life of a flower. But death, as we think of it, is just one step away, even a fraction of a second, and one may step from this world into the ages of eternity. The leaves of a tree fade differently. The autumn foliage is varied. In the summertime, all the leaves have their uniform greenness, but time brings out individual characteristics and true colors. Likewise, at death, the true character of each individual is apparent before God. As death finds us, so will the judgment. After death cometh the judgment, is the divine injunction of Almighty God. Precious in the Lord's sight is the death of His saints, the Bible says. The leaves of a tree fade and fall purposely. No leaf falls from a tree unless cut off without making due preparation for departure. Take a look at the trees of the forest in autumn. In one way, it is a sad season of decay, yet beautiful and glorious. Perhaps to your surprise, you will find as much life as you will find death. The elements of the future are already provided for. The leaves are fading away, but they have been making preparation for some time. How important it is for man to prepare for this momentous event of his being and of his life. Preparation for death is a preparation for life in eternity, in reality. For man to prepare to die is to prepare to live. The decree of death is irrevocable. No one can outlive the liability of death. If so, why then should Methuselah have died? Strength of body avails not. If so, why the death of Samson? Wisdom and knowledge cannot prevent death. If so, why the death of Solomon? Great men of war cannot conquer death. If so, why not men like Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Cyrus, and other would-be conquerors of the world still be living today? Ladies and gentlemen, death is inevitable. Are you prepared for it? My friends, death is an event likely to occur in any family, any moment. As we think about death and talk about death and sing about death, we must remember, death claims all places, conditions, and circumstances his own. Death revels on the battlefields of war, wrecks on the highways, among the diseased bodies, and in the midst of pleasure. Death enters all abodes, the mansion, the hut, the garden, the shop, the street, and even the pulpit and the pew. I have known of death to call the preacher while standing in the pulpit. Death is the gateway to an unchangeable destiny. The body, originally created from the dust of the earth, which today still contains the same 16 elements of the earth, goes back to the dust of the ground. But, ladies and gentlemen, the soul goes back to God who gave it for an account with God. At death, the soul departs the body and takes its flight on unseen wings of God's transport to unknown realms of Hades, there to await the resurrection morning. The account of Christ's ascension into heaven after his death and resurrection may be read in Mark 16 and 19 and 20 and Luke chapter 24 verses 50 and 51. In the great inspirational sermon proclaimed by Peter on Pentecost, he affirmed that David is not ascended into heaven, Acts 2:34. He reasoned that if David had ascended, it only could have been by resurrection. But since his body had not been resurrected, and his sepulcher was still undisturbed, David had not yet ascended into heaven with the Father. But someone might inquire, does not the Spirit return to God who gave it when the person dies? Yes, Solomon declared, and the dust returneth to the earth as it was, and the Spirit returneth to God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:7. From the Scriptures already considered, however, we learn that although the Spirit does return to God who gave it, the soul is reserved in Hades, the righteous being reserved in paradise, while the wicked are reserved in Tartarus, awaiting the final day of the resurrection and judgment. Now you may read that in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, Luke 23 and 43, and Luke 16:19-31. Surely, there can be no doubt that the soul of man is conscious after death. Actually, death is only separation. The word separation could be used instead of the word death. Death is a sleep. For the body to sleep does not mean that the soul is asleep. There is rest in slumber. What better word could be used to describe this mortal body which, by reason of time and use, needs rest? When this mortal clay reposes in superlative slumber, when every nerve, every muscle and every fiber of its physical being is completely relaxed by reason of the fact that the soul has moved out and life no longer exists in the house of clay, the body, the soul of man is still very much alive and will continue to be conscious throughout eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Many statements of the Bible would be meaningless if it were not for the fact that the soul is alive. If it were insensible after death, the Bible would be meaningless. Jesus said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die." John 11:25. Our Lord declared that Moses and Elijah had not yet ascended into heaven, yet they conversed with Christ, as you read in John 3:13 and Matthew 7 and the first 8 verses. God said, "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob." Christ explained God's declaration to man, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." The soul of man, given by God, is not dependent upon a mortal house of clay for its existence. The inspired apostle said, "Whether we wake or sleep, we would live together with Him." 1 Thessalonians 5:10. The soul of man lives forever. In the narrative of the rich man and Lazarus of Luke 16 is evidence beyond doubt of the consciousness of the soul after death. The Bible speaks of those in the Hadean world as those who hear, talk, feel, think, and speak. Lazarus and the rich man both died, yet both men were conscious after death. They talked, even conversing about things in this life on earth, they remembered. In the record of the Transfiguration, Luke 9:28 following, it is revealed that the living souls of men, dead for ages, talked with Jesus, and living souls of men alive on earth. The Bible says, "And it came to pass about and 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias." Now, could dead men talk without being conscious? Moses and Elias had been dead for some 1,500 years and had not been resurrected, but they appeared with identity on the Mount of Transfiguration and talked with Jesus. The three apostles were witnesses. It was on this occasion that a voice out of the clouds was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Luke 9, verse 35. And my friends, may I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ made a firm declaration of hope when he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Matthew 10:28. The soul of man never dies. In Hades, over in Tartarus, the rich man was very conscious, while in that terrible place, being reserved unto the day of judgment, as declared in 2 Peter 2:4, he was in anguish and in torment. He remembered, yes, he remembered the beggar whom he did not treat as kindly as a dog, not even so much as to give him the crumbs which fell from his richly laden table. Now, he begs for the slightest means of comfort from the hands of him who once laid at his gate in poverty and distress, but now is richly comforted in Abraham's bosom over in paradise. Yes, in anguish he remembered his brothers whom he had left in the world. But on the other side of the gulf, over in paradise, along with all who are awaiting the judgment of God, the saved and the redeemed of Jehovah, are enjoying the peace and the happiness and the greatness of life, not for now, but for eternity. I tell you, my friends, death is the gateway to heaven. Remember these words of the Lord when he said, "All that are in their graves shall hear his voice when he comes again." Are you ready for that event? My friends, the Bible says, there is a time to live and a time to die. Time. "It passeth away" is indelibly stamped upon everything in this world. What we love and what we possess in this world, regardless of how dearly cherished, must have the fragile label, "It passeth away." The Bible says, "The fashion of this world passeth away," 1 Corinthians 7:31. Even the afflictions of life, which may sometimes seem endless, are but for a moment, the apostle declared. Where are those who once possessed the land you now own for a limited time, the houses in which you now live, the chambers in which you may sleep tonight? Where are the kings and governors who once occupied the palace courts and halls of justice? Where? They have passed away. And you can be sure we are following, even perhaps closer than we might expect. We are all going somewhere, and going by very fast. Everything is changing. Indeed, time changes things. Take a look at the family album of pictures, your picture of yesterday. The time of the day, where are the hours and the minutes? Think about it. Even since I've been talking to you on this broadcast, several moments of time are forever gone, never, never to return. Think of the seasons, these very songs you've heard, the sermons you have heard, the prayers, these lifetime opportunities. They're all fleeting, passing away. The Bible says, "Our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and man that is born of woman is of few days." And again, "What is your life? For you are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." James 4, verse 14. The vapor may appear clearly visible one moment, but with the flash of sunbeam rays the next moment it is gone. Also, "He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not." And, "Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my years are as nothing before me." We may look upon the everlasting hills of grandeur and beauty, but they too shall someday vanish away. Let no man build his life upon anything that can perish the foundation of his hope of life in eternity. The Bible said, "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And again, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. A time to die. What an exclamation for eternity! And it is only one time. Death is a one-time experience, a reality that no one can deny. We experience death in our land every day, yet so often we are inclined to want to put death away from us for some future time. One time only is the only time. One may be a failure in business. He may try again and again. But, my friends, a failure of the business of being a Christian when time to die is an irrevocable failure for all time and eternity. There will be no second chance. Perhaps it would be well for us to think about advancing forward for a little while in life, in our vision and apprehension, and see and recognize time and death as they really are. How would it be to step out into the future among the death scenes of the day? Who would it be? Could it possibly be you or me? My friends, don't you know that it will be sooner or later? All the experiences of this one-time call for others is just as certain to be ours as night follows day. Time will bring everything in its place and will bring every living soul to a place. The end for the beginning, the end in death, but the beginning for timeless eternity. Do we really accept a time to die? Is it not true that so many people think of death as being only for the other person? Surely it is not my time to die. For me, that is some far-off distant future, is the thinking of millions, no doubt. But what a delusion. No man knows how far out is the stake of the boundary of his earthly time. How vainly man gambles with time and the destiny of his soul. Whether the next step will be on earth, in heaven, or in hell. Just remember, ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Man will take time to die, whether prepared or unprepared. There is a tie that binds in time. Even when we accept the fact that there must be a time to die, most people have an unconquerable aversion to death. Riches cannot remove it. Poverty cannot destroy it. Reason cannot supplant it. Even the hope and anticipation of heaven cannot completely reconcile us to death as death. There are always some ties that bind us to life. Many of them are strong and seemingly inseparable. Sometimes we think cannot be broken, but they will be broken in time. The beautiful ties of love, companionship, and fellowship. We may seem to want to last forever, but all such ties that bind will last only for a time. You know, the great Apostle Paul grappled with this heart-penetrating principle of life and this matter of tie that binds. He wrote the early fellow Christians in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, and said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if to live in the flesh, if this shall bring fruit from my work, then what shall I choose? I know not. But I am in a strait betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for it is far better. Yet to abide in the flesh is more needful for your sake." Sometimes earthly ties, houses, lands, fortunes, and fame are ties that are glued closer than affections of hearts, one toward another and toward God. In this life, even the wicked and covetous mortals may boast of prosperity and physical comfort. But the ties will be broken. Death will remove all of them, and then nothing but despair and hopelessness. The treasures of this earth will fade into less than nothingness, in contrast to the treasures of heaven. No wonder our Lord admonished,
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. Matthew 6:19-21. The tie that binds hearts with heaven is a tie that will not be broken, but will last for all time and eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss the matter of life and death, we must understand that life is a most precious gift from God. Not one breath without God's permission. The infant sleeping in its cradle or on its mother's breast breathes the breath of life involuntarily. Its breath is in God's hands. Oh, how we cherish life, to hold on to it. Even in time of lingering death, fortunes sometimes are spent just to prolong life as long as possible. Yes, I want to live. You want to live, even just for a little while longer. How long? What for? How long is not nearly as important as what for? I would presume that most people of maturity think of preparing for and expecting a long life. How often do we read the obituary column of the newspaper and observe the ages of the deceased, looking for the oldest, perhaps, and wondering if we may attain that age? Ladies and gentlemen, in this life, time is insignificant compared to preparation for time eternal. Christ Jesus our Lord had only 33 years, such a short time. But what monuments of time in eternity. 33 years of age and only 3 years of personal ministry. But time to finish his work and then go home back to his Father in heaven. Remember, Jesus said, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. I'm thankful that God has been so good and kind. The privilege of telling the gospel story to millions and baptizing thousands into Christ is a vital part of my life. But how long yet? I know not. One thing I do know, there is somewhere, sometime just ahead, the border of the grave and the margin of eternity that awaits the termination of time for me, just as it does for every man who walks the face of God's good earth. Death cannot be the end, it is the beginning. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. The grave, more than the cradle, will mark the commencement day, the beginning of the endless day of eternity. Death is the graduation exercise for the child of God. The great Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Henceforth that is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. What a great accomplishment. Death and age. What about our reckoning of time? When another wrinkle is on your cheek, thank God. When your hair has turned to silver, thank God. When you feel the infirmities of added years, and maybe your body is stooped and bent, and perhaps you need a kindly hand to help you climb the steps across the street, thank God. When your footsteps move slowly and uncertainly, and you no longer hear the laughter of joy, nor the voice of friends and loved ones, thank God. Thank God because moving day is coming. You can move out of the old tabernacle of clay that is worn and falling apart and move into a beautiful mansion prepared by our Lord and live forever in a new immortal terrestrial body which shall never decay. What a great thought. The life of a Christian brings heaven nearer each day. Life is a voyage. The port will soon be in sight. Life is a journey. The last mile of the way is not far away. Life is a race. the crown of victory may soon be won. A startling, sobering thought. Soon our work will be done. Time to go home. Our business will soon be left behind. Our homes, our cares, and every temporal thing in life will be left forever. The sun, the moon, and the stars, the springtime, summertime, and winter, the heavens and upheavals of the earth. Yes, everything attached to this world we shall soon be leaving. But what an amazing, joyful thought. If we are Christians, we shall soon be in heaven. Heaven is so near for the saints of God. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? While the storms of life may beat against a weary soul, and the clouds may hover low, causing rivers of tears, just remember the beauties and the promises of the rainbow, which were formed by the weeping clouds as an expression of God's love and remembrance. The Christian's life is a rainbow of love. Our faith may be strengthened and love increased by the adversities of life. When we look at the beauties of the rainbow, you know, the Bible says that is a rainbow in heaven, with all of its majestic beauty round about the throne like an emerald to look upon, Revelation 4, verses 1 through 3. God intends death to be not an unbearable experience of life, but a blessed and precious experience for His children. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, declared David in Psalms 116:15. Beloved, that is no difference comparable to the difference between life and death. And I speak of the life eternal with God in heaven, and in contrast to the second death, which is eternal separation from God. Death has no special delivery death message at all. It may be as sudden as the strike of lightning. The Bible says, "Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth," Proverbs 27:1, and "For a man also knoweth not his time," Ecclesiastes 9:12, and "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is come," said our Lord.